880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are on, we are live, we are broadcasting from the Palatial Studios of 880 AM. Even though the stock market went down today, we're still going to have a rocking good time on the show. We've got the Ackerman Centerfit Real Estate Summit 2013, strategies, trends, and critical issues. We're going to have Len O'Donnell, president of the, and COO of USAA Real Estate. This is a big shot. We talk about the equity market and equity investing in real estate. We've got Daryl Parmenter. He's the chairman and CEO of Parmenter Realty. Daryl buys office buildings, value add office buildings. We're going to talk to Daryl and his attorney Eric Rapkin about value add office buying. We're going to talk lodging and hospitality with Andy Robbins, the lodging and lifestyle practice chair at Ackerman. And Andy's going to talk to us about some of the new things that he sees and how long he thinks the strong market, bull market for hospitality will continue. We're going to talk general market conditions with Richard Sinkuhler. He's the global real estate market leader for Ernst & Young. And he would be teamed up with Rich Beisold, the real estate practice group head of Ackerman Centerfit. So stick with us. We've got a terrific show, all hashtag CRE for the next hour with Ackerman Centerfit's 2013 Real Estate Summit. Take us out. We'll be right back. Sit down, stick in your car. Great stuff coming at you. Only the insiders invited to the conference heard this stuff. I'm going to make it available to you. Oh, we're out.
Every year in Florida, tens of thousands of children are abused or neglected. Many more continue to suffer because their abuse is never reported. In every case, there are signs. They may not be obvious. Reporting child abuse can save a life, and under Florida law, it's everyone's responsibility. Don't miss the signs. Report child abuse. Call 1-800-962-2873. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Children and Families, Lawrence Kids, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Part of medical breakthroughs are doctors who refuse to accept the status quo. There's one health system that supports their efforts like no other, providing an environment that encourages innovation and life-saving discoveries. That's why world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine practice here, literally transforming medicine as we know it. Our doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. And isn't that who you want taking care of you? We are U Health, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
All right. You got to love the people at UHealth. They really take care of me and my family. They make us feel like $1 million, and so do my friends at Warren Henry. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar. Johnny and I did this week. We checked out the Land Rovers and Range Rovers and drove them over the rough roads out at their test track event. It was absolutely terrific. Now, the exceptional cars that they have, they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means you get complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime, for an entire year. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Back at the Ackerman Center for 2013 Real Estate Summit. It's a great event. There's a lot of fabulous real estate decision makers here, and they're giving me what I want the most. They're giving me information that I can arbitrage to make money. And we're here today, right now, with Len O'Donnell. He's with USAA Insurance, one of the top equity investors for institutional real estate. Len, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
That was a big answer. Give me again, Len. Come on.
glad to be here.
All right. He's obviously conservative with that insurance company money behind him. Now, Len, we know that equity is what drives real estate. And you being one of the biggest equity investors, I know that you've been here in Miami on some business as well as being here at the conference. What are the equity investors saying about Miami?
Well, I think it's an interesting time for Miami. You know, I spent a lot of time in Miami in a previous life before I joined USAA, doing what I was doing, development and private investing. And I think about 2000, you know, as we got into right before the crash, you know, 2006, 2007, going into 2008, I really felt Miami was right on the precipice of becoming a major financial center, you know, right, you know, sort of right in a tier below New York. And people were talking about, you know, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, all sort of being synonymous with you know, obviously Miami focused on the growth in Latin and South America as an entry point to the U.S. And I think what happened, it was obvious what happened was the housing market crashed so badly that it took the perception of the whole city down. But I think now as the housing is sort of stabilized and is well on to recovery, I think you realize that the underlying fundamentals of why Miami was burgeoning in that way still exist and never really went away.
Well, my real interpretation of that whole thesis is that if you take a look at the world globe map and you take a look at where Miami is positioned, especially in the post-Panamax generation, Miami is at the center of the world. It's a great kickoff point. It's a great place for funds to flow north and south and east and west. So I completely agree. What do you think was holding back Miami in the past from becoming a world-class city?
Well, I think it's just a maturation of any city. It's size, part of, and it's residential growth. I mean, if you look at downtown Miami, you know, 20 years ago, it was sort of sporadic development. It wasn't a living downtown. There was not a big residential base, very limited retail. You know, all of that sort of happened over on the beach, right? But downtown was not a real place. And, you know, Coral Gables had its own identity, but Miami didn't really have much of an identity. So I think the housing boom, ironically, has done a great deal to stimulate Miami's perception as a world city, because now as the housing has recovered, and again, maybe 5 years worth of supply got built in 1 year, but now that 5 years of recovery has happened, you have people living here, you have restaurants opening, you have hotels that are successful again, and that stimulates business interest.
It's an absolutely vibrant community here. And one last question on Miami, and then we'll take a little bit more of a national scope. What do you think about the perception of multifamily, both for sale and for rent in Miami? Some people are saying that there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline, and we may be having another peak in the market occurring rather soon as far as supply goes. What do you guys think? Because you're investors.
Yeah, we're not actively involved in the condominium business. So I was, again, in a former life, but I think so we haven't studied that as closely, although just anecdotally in this couple of days I've spent here, it certainly seems as though it's gaining momentum. We're heavily invested in the rental, multifamily rental business, and are, you know, a very active developer, or providing capital to developers in the space. And we're looking actively at a couple of projects here in Miami. And we have land that we own over in Coral Gables that we may put into development at some point. I actually view the recovery of the condominium market as, you know, potentially helpful to the residential market, because there was a great deal of inventory that was, you know, contemplating being developed. And I'm already seeing sites that we were considering as multifamily sites or as rental sites being converted to condominium. So in an unusual way, that may constrain supply on the rental side. And actually make that market a little bit healthier. The long-term perspective is as long as the condominiums are successful, right? Because otherwise you get back to that shadow inventory of rentals that hit this market, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So.
Sure, I completely agree. And I'd even go one step further because we're doing a lot of land brokerage for rental apartments right now. What I found is that the landowners all think that they're sitting on an oil well. What they don't realize is that their approvals that they had before Miami 21 are perhaps a little bit curtailed right now, as is their pricing. And the reason that their site was not taken in the last cycle is because it's not appropriate for condo and it really is a rental, and eventually they'll understand that. But I also agree with you that there is going to be a continuing need for this type of product as Miami continues to urbanize around its transit spine. Now let's talk a little bit about other markets. Do you cover other markets besides South Florida?
Yeah, we're invested throughout the United States. Well, in 50 or so cities. So.
We are always South Florida centric. What do you think are some of the hotter markets? I'm hearing things like the usual suspects, Houston, and then I'm also hearing some of the unusual suspects, Pittsburgh being the heart of the eastern United States oil boom. It's just unbelievable how the dynamics are changing in a town like, I got to say it again, Pittsburgh. What's your secret city that you think is just poised?
Well, actually, we've actually invested in Pittsburgh last year, and we'll do more this year. But ironically, as you say, you know, as you compare it to Houston and Pittsburgh, but it's the same driver. It's energy. The Marcellus Shale is booming in Pittsburgh, and you know, overall the Pittsburgh economy is strong, but oil's driving a lot of the demand. So it's a little bit of a misnomer in that sense. But you know, we're following the jobs, and there aren't a lot of jobs yet, but where they are, they're concentrated. So Houston obviously has tremendous job growth. Seattle, San Francisco, Austin, Texas. I mean, if you look at the top 10 job growth cities in America, 10 of them are in Texas, or 5 of them are in Texas. You know, but we like San Francisco. We've heavily, even though, you know, there was talk today at the conference about how it's hard to invest in some of the gateway cities like San Francisco. You know, we still think there's opportunity there. We're doing development. We're doing multifamily development there. There's a booming office development business starting to kick up in San Francisco, which is, you know, my view, maybe a tad premature. But
well, we did say jobs, yeah. Office and jobs.
Yeah. And there's, you know, we think there's three main sectors driving jobs in the U.S., energy, technology, and medical.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at those cities, you know, Houston, obviously known for its oil and energy, but also a huge medical city.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the great medical centers in the world now. Seattle, the same way, three major medical centers in, along with a huge technology base. So, you know, Austin, again, technology and energy. So those are the cities that are benefiting. So you really focus in on, you know, where do people want to live and where are jobs being created? And, you know, lo and behold, there's a lot of linkage between the two.
Yeah, no, and we've talked about multifamily. Is USAA looking in any other sectors of the real estate development world besides multifamily?
And we're a very significant provider of capital to development for industrial.
Okay.
I think by some statistics, we were the largest provider of development capital last year in that space. Very significant build-to-suit business there. Some of the well-known internet providers, mm-hmm. We've done a number of buildings for as they change sort of the logistics landscape, really, in the U.S., to the detriment, as one of the speakers said today, you know, to the detriment of some retailers. And we're doing some office development, not quite as much as the other spaces right now, but that is the fastest growing segment of the business, I think. We're you know, and obviously that's linked to jobs,
mm-hmm.
But it also is linked to the fact that there's been virtually no office space built in America for 5 years, and the inventory is dated, and there's markets that are in recovery, have limited supplies of large blocks of space, and that's when you see corporate America start to step up and build some new headquarters facilities and things like that. So we're seeing more of that in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, we've seen some good office development here in Miami because we had people that had long-term views. We've had new buildings delivered. They've cannibalized some of the existing stock, but the top firms moved in, and the buildings are just spectacular, and you do notice the difference. I do want to talk about one multifamily sector that seems to be gaining momentum, student housing. What's your opinion about student housing? Because it seems that as the continuing need for educational housing goes, well, student housing is a favorite, but many investors don't know how to get in there.
Yeah, that's a great point, and we're not active in that space yet, though we look at it every year and challenge ourselves. You know, if you go back 20 years, multifamily housing in general was not an institutionally accepted product.
No, sure.
In fact, we recently – the in Texas, the Department of Insurance recently changed its regulations to permit life insurance companies to invest directly in multifamily, which is sort of staggering that in 2013 that was had been the case. But in terms of student housing, we look at it as an operating business to some degree. You know, you're selling beds more than you are real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so to some – so we've stayed away from it to this point. Obviously, it's a market that's harder and harder to ignore. And so I think it has characteristics similar to multifamily. But at the end of the day, it's still a different business.
Len, I want to thank you so much for bringing USAA's focus on real estate here at the Ackerman Center for 2013 Real Estate Conference. I look forward to doing business with you and your team down the road. And we'll be right back after this short break with another segment from the Ackerman Center for 2013 U.S. Real Estate Conference.
This is Rob Denton, President and CEO of True North Financial. America is stuck in a once-in-a-lifetime recession. It's affected all of us. For many small businesses, the reminder is constant phone calls from creditors and collection agencies. I talk to business owners all the time that are good people that just need a reset of their credit situation. Vendors, banks, leasing companies all want to get paid. True North Financial will help you reorganize your debt picture so you can get back to the business of doing business. We're fact-based and proactive. You deserve a professional who knows how to help you navigate these trying times. For more information, call me at 954-379-4738 or go to our website at www.truenorthfinancial.net. Let True North Financial start helping you today.
Hey, everybody. This is John Mahoney with SocialMedia305.com. Many of you might know us as the online voice for the Freedom Business Radio Show. And what we do, we provide you access to your community using social media platforms. Now, we know most businesses are looking to take advantage of this and stay in touch with their community and their customers, but they're not quite sure what platforms to use or even when to use them. We can help you overcome this hurdle. We know where the market is, how to find them, how to track the conversations, and most importantly, how to engage your brand. You can reach us at any time at 305-710-2273. Again, call us at 305-710-2273 or feel free to drop us an email at contact@socialmedia305.com. Again, that's contact@socialmedia305.com.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hi, this is Jim Freed. We are back. We're broadcasting live from the 2013 Ackerman Center for Real Estate Summit. In this segment, we've got Daryl Parmener. He's the chairman and CEO of Parmener Realty Partners. And we're here with Eric Rapkin. He's a partner with Ackerman Center for its Real Estate Department in Fort Lauderdale. Daryl and Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Now, Daryl, let's talk for a minute. Parmenter Realty Partners, your focus is on office investment in markets across the country, yes?
Generally speaking, Jim, we're really in the south, east, southwest, southern half of the U.S., and our focus is on what's generally described in the industry as value add. What that really means is we buy real estate that's deprived of capital, needs work, needs lease up. We do the work. We change the status from probably a B to an A and sell back into the institutional real estate market.
Now, our previous guest, the gentleman from USAA, we were talking about the office market, and he was talking about how the evolution of the economy is such that there haven't been office buildings built for a number of years, that a number of office buildings are going to come to the market. We've seen that phenomenon in Miami, and what usually happens is that it cannibalizes the last generation of top-quality buildings, and I guess that's what provides you with your opportunity.
It does. It does. What happens in that environment is the older buildings, as I said earlier, tend to be deprived of capital, the sponsorship, because they're losing tenancy, they're losing income, they're losing value. We are then able to buy at a significant discount to replacement cost and do our magic to the buildings. The opportunity today is changing. There's a sea change occurring in the office building industry relating to space needs. So not only do we have an environment where we're starting a recovery in real estate, but we have a space need change where tenants in general are making their space more efficient. And to do that, they typically need to change buildings. They need to move because they don't want to stay in that work environment when the actual work is taking place.
I got to believe that the heavy work is very disruptive, and one of the things that always concerned me about office investment was the heavy involvement with TI. I want to ask Eric a question.
Sure.
Eric, I know you're on the board of directors of NAIOP and involved with NAIOP for a number of years. What are you seeing in your business with office developers as the economy evolves? What are you noticing as some differences in the market?
One of the things we're noticing is that even on larger deals, tenants are taking smaller space than they had. So as Daryl was saying, with the changing office environment, even office deals I've done around the country, I've noticed that when they're moving buildings, it's to take a smaller space and typically in what they would consider to be a more efficient building. So everything about what they need, law firms just as one example, what used to be the showpiece of every law firm was the library. Now there is no library.
Library is an internet connection.
The library is at your desk, and if you do have a library, like we have a small one still in Fort Lauderdale, with old books.
Sort of like this is what it used to be. I know I had this. I had a kind of a moment like that. I walked into Books and Books on Lincoln Road, and I took a breath, and I said, so that's what a book smells like. Now, Daryl, we were talking about the fact that you'll take over a building, that you make a significant capital investment in that building. Are you finding with the economy still sort of vacillating a little bit that it's difficult to make projections as you're acquiring these office buildings on rent trends, occupancy trends, things like that?
Yes, and that's both good and bad. In markets like Houston, where we're heavily invested, it's a very good thing because the rental trend is up, the concessions are down. In other markets, like parts of Dallas, that's not the case, where leasing activity still remains somewhat stagnant, and it makes it much more difficult to predict trends going forward.
Well, I think that the marketplace sort of knows that Houston is bubbling and more than bubbling, perhaps on fire. What would be a good market that you think is on the cusp of returning where it might be a place to look for deals in the next 6 to 12 months?
In the markets that we're in, again, the southern half of the U.S., excluding California, we think both Dallas and Atlanta are poised for fairly significant growth coming forward. Now, we're invested in Charlotte. As Eric knows, he was the transactional attorney for a large deal that we did in Charlotte. Small market, heavily influenced by the financial sector, and one that we think will continue to grow as long as the banks stay healthy.
Now, Eric, Daryl brought up an interesting point. He said that you did work for him in Charlotte. You're Florida-based, so it sounds to me like you mentioned it a little bit before, that you can do transactions all across the country. What's the difference as you go from market to market? What's the one thing that you need to focus on that changes?
You know, I think for developers, acquirers, buyers, sellers, I think the more important thing as the economy kind of changes and gets national is you work with the team that you're comfortable with. It used to be that if you were buying a building here, you would find a lawyer here. If you were buying a building wherever, you would find a lawyer there. Now you want the team to do the deal. So wherever we happen to be doing deals for Daryl, we get local counsel to help us with the particularly local issues. But as far as the overall transaction, negotiating the purchase agreement, Charlotte happened to involve a very large sale leaseback, negotiating the lease with the seller. The kind of points that you have a shorthand with over these literally decades, for example, of working with Daryl's company, saves time, money, and is just the right way to do it. Now, you always have to be cognizant of bar rules in other states and what you can and can't do. But typically, to kind of make it very simplistic, working with a local counsel usually will take care of your issues.
Now, one of the things that drives real estate across markets and across time is capital. Daryl, what's the capital structure that your firm works under that allows you the flexibility to address the opportunities as they arise? Because in the value-add business, sometimes speed of execution is your biggest ally.
Critical. And in 1989, we changed the way in which we did business, and that is that we went from a company that was doing one-off transactions to one that created a series of funds. So we have, these are open-ended real estate investment funds with institutional investors where we have discretion over the capital. So in addition to having discretion, we have a line that allows us, should we need to or desire to actually acquire an asset all cash. And in the environment we're in, where closing or surety of closure is so vital to the seller, it gives companies like us the ability to compete at a higher level than many.
Well, I want to thank Daryl Parmener. He's the chairman and CEO of Parmener Realty Partners, one of the most successful value-add office developers, redevelopers in the country, and his local, regional, and national counsel, Eric Rapkin, a partner in Ackerman Center for its Fort Lauderdale office. We'll be back right after this with our next group of guests from the Ackerman Center for 2013 Real Estate Summit. Back after this.
Every year, tens of thousands of children in Florida are abused or neglected. Many will be victims of sexual abuse, usually by someone they know and trust. Sometimes adults can miss the signs, and children don't always know how to ask for help. If you suspect a child is being abused, report it today. Don't miss the signs. Report child abuse. Call 1-800-962-2873. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Children and Families, Lawrence Kids, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb? It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
You know, the traffic's coming up, and I know you're all sitting in the cars and all aggravated about the person in front of you. Don't do that. Let them go. And I got to tell you something else. You know, it's good business to give your customers what they want. The Warren Henry family of auto dealerships, you know, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar, they knew this, and that's why they always give their customers more. In fact, this weekend, they took Johnny and I test driving the Land Rovers and Range Rovers out there in North Dade, out by Aventura, and the rough roads of one of the parcels that I sold back in the day for apartments that still hasn't been built on. When I leased my two Infinities from them, I knew I was getting the best price because these guys guaranteed it. The best price guarantee is part of a package of benefits called the Warren Henry Advantage. You get complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and even a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for a whole year. So if you want to buy or lease any new Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, or Jaguar from Warren Henry, or even if you buy one of their pre-owned cars, you'll get the Warren Henry Advantage too. Add in the exceptional service they deliver, and you'll see why they've been in business for over 3.5 decades. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
And now, WZAB traffic.
Good evening. Taking a look at your expressways, we are dealing with delays throughout Miami-Dade and Broward counties. A crash, or I should say a breakdown, involving a truck on 395 is slowing you down. That's eastbound near Palm Island. Your left lane is closed. Again, delays on your expressways throughout Miami-Dade and Broward. Stop-and-go traffic right now on I-95 northbound between 195 and Northwest 119th Street. And out of Broward County, 95 southbound between Cypress Creek Road and Commercial. For more traffic, follow us on Twitter at Total Traffic MIA.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hi, this is Jim Freed, and we are back, as I said, we are live from the 2013 Ackerman Centerfit Real Estate Summit in downtown Miami. And now we've got a special guest, Andy Robbins. Andy's a partner at Ackerman's Boca Raton office, and he specializes in hospitality. He's going to be real hospitable during this segment. Andy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I'll do my best to be hospitable.
Oh, great. I love your tie, by the way. Definitely a hospitable tie.
Thank you. I hope it shows well over the airwaves.
It certainly does. Now, I want to ask you about a reality test. It seems to me that everything I read points to the fact that this is the golden age for hospitality. Acquisition of failed projects, redevelopment of failed projects, development of new projects, repositioning, rebranding, reflagging, redevelopment. What's going on out there?
Well, I think maybe it's not quite as rosy as you just suggested. The part of the business that clearly is still languishing is resort development. But in addition to that, I would say hotel development is still very challenging. There's not a lot of debt capital. A lot of what has driven the upper upscale and luxury segments of the market has been for sale real estate. So it could be branded residential product. It could be fractional ownership. But something that basically fills in the gap in a challenging capital structure for an upscale hotel project. And that's not there today. You know, we still have the population that would have been buyers of that product reeling from the loss in their IRAs and stock holdings, in the decline in asset values on their residences. So they're not quite at a point where they're putting money into those products. And that has really been a big damper on development.
Now, how about what you're talking about is co-branded development. Maybe it's a condo hotel, maybe it's a timeshare and a standard hotel next to it, that kind of stuff, sort of like in Miami what we see at the Ritz-Carlton and Coconut Grove.
Yeah, but distinguish what people think of as pure condo hotel. That's yesterday's product. It proved to be something of a failure, but it's important to make a distinction between a hotel that is solely condominiumized units on the one hand, which is a dead idea in most instances, not dead on a ski slope, not dead necessarily on the beach, but dead in a branded context and in most other contexts. But distinguish that from a traditional hotel of whatever it's going to be, 100 to 200 keys, where there are 20 to 40 to 60 branded condominium units or even unbranded condominium units or fractional. That's not dead. That's still the model that we're going to see going forward. But until that for sale market returns, it's really a problem for the development side of things.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing is that a lot of the urban sites that can't hold the single asset class from a land price standpoint are looking at mixed-use development to share it, and I think that for-rent multi-housing, which is financeable in today's market, is a very nice match for certain types of hotel call select service, perhaps.
Well, I think so, too. We're representing one client, which is a municipality in South Florida, that's looking at the possibility of a boutique hotel with rentals. And the beauty of the rentals, because they also considered condominiums, but the beauty of the rentals is it brings young people. It brings nightlife. It's sort of what you're seeing in downtown Miami, where you're bringing a lot of real vibrancy to the market and it becomes more of a 24/7 environment. So I agree with that entirely.
Well, we'll have to talk off record then, and I mean off the record here, and we'll have to see if we can make a match there. But that's what Freed on Business is all about, people coming together to do deals. Now, Andy, we've talked about what's going on. We've talked about what happened. What do you think is going to be happening in the future? Polish up your crystal ball and take a look out there. What do you see happening in hospitality?
All right. So it's not really going out on a limb to say that the select service business is pretty hot. I don't think it's going out on a limb, although there may not be quite the recognition of this that there probably will be in a year, to say that people might be rethinking luxury. There are lots of locations where luxury doesn't need to be something that's highly amenitized, and you could look to the neighborhood for some of the F&B options, and you can sell somebody a really nice, high-quality sort of select service.
I was going to say upscaled select service, the same model, walk to your food and beverage, but spend a couple more bucks on the room. Hey, I'm a buyer for that, so I'm the renter there.
Right. So you can see that in an urban environment, but there have been people, not a lot of people, but people who have spoken about that in a resort context where you're talking about offshore locations and you're trying to make the visitation experience real. You're trying to bring somebody into a community. And so the notion is, instead of having a resort, which is very insular, you're going to do something along the lines of an amenitized, high-end, non-amenitized perhaps, select service product, and maybe have a few different brands, and then have that play more intimately into the local environment.
Oh, that would be perfect for my vacation in St. Thomas.
That's right. Well, and perhaps locations even more exotic.
Well, I'm sorry. For me, St. Thomas is exotic simply because I know the name of the manager of Diamonds International, thanks to my lovely wife, Vivian.
Yeah.
Now you were talking about perhaps more exotic locations than that. It seems to me that after 5 to 7 years of squeezing the travel out of people's budget, that people are now have a pent-up demand to go on a nice vacation to a nice place. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, it is what we're seeing. And the numbers in the Caribbean would bear that out. And then secondarily, we're seeing a lot of development in throughout Latin America, for example. So Colombia is extraordinarily hot. Brazil, of course, is hot. There are lots of secondary and tertiary cities that haven't had much branded development in particular. Mexico is seeing a lot of activity. So there's really quite a bit going on in Latin America.
Now, Andy, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm going to give you a question that would take you 3 hours to answer.
Okay.
Elder care and hospitality seem to be very similar with just a different approach to a different market sector. How are some of your hospitality clients looking at that as an opportunity? And you've got about a minute to answer.
Well, for me, that's a fascinating question because I actually have been working on some continuing care retirement communities and really came at it with the sense that the nexus is there. What you find, given a limited amount of time, is that people aren't thinking about it so much as the two relate to each other. In a resort master plan community context, nobody wants to see where they're going to be when they're not as healthy as they would like to be down the road. There are a few large-scale master plan communities in the country that have incorporated substantial senior housing components, and I do think it's the future. The demographics tell you we're there, but it's a study that you know, has to be continued.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you as we work on senior and continuing care. Not only is it something that I don't think that the people that are going to be residents in the community want to see, it's something that I have a difficult personal time working with simply because of the visioning and discussions that I have to be involved with. There's going to be a significant amount of our population that's coming down the road that's going to be have to deal with this, and I just don't know if as a country or as individuals we're prepared financially or emotionally for that. One last thing. We've got about a minute or so left, Andy. What do you think is the biggest opportunity in hospitality today?
Well, tough question, but what I've always...
I specialize in it.
Yeah, thank you. What I've always felt is that if I was investing my money, it would be in limited service. The reason I say that is most of the work that we do is in the luxury and upper upscale segments, and it's glamorous and it's fun and it's exciting, and it can be highly successful. The problem with it is if you are losing money, and this being a cyclical business, you inevitably do... You lose way too much money way too fast in that sector.
Yeah, I got to just say is that I work with some of the smartest guys in the hospitality business in our equity side, and they strictly focus on select service. I want to thank Andy Robbins, partner in Ackerman Center Fitz Boca Raton office, for joining us. He specializes in hospitality. He's been very hospitable. We will be right back after this short break with our final segment from the 2013 Ackerman Center Fitz Real Estate Summit, back after this.
Are you an event marketer that has no time to worry about social media marketing and promotions? This is where socialmedia305.com can work in conjunction with you. We specialize in promoting events, marketing, doing recaps, and most importantly, having team members on site. If you're interested in having your event promoted, give us a call at 305-710-2273. Again, that's 305-710-2273. And always remember, socialmedia305.com is a social relations company.
That's right. Social Media 305 is a social relationship. And if you want a relationship for life with your car, then you want to talk to my friends at Warren Henry, because when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar, like Johnny and I did this weekend when we test drove the Land Rover and Range Rover products all across the rough roads of North Miami Beach. And they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means the complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for an entire year. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're back with our final segment, and we saved the best for last. We've got Rich Beasold. He's the partner in charge of the global real estate practice for Ackerman Center Fitz, and we've got another global guy, Rick Sinkler. Did I get that right?
Sinkler, close enough.
Oh, my gosh. Rick Sinkler, and he's the partner for Global Real Estate Markets Leader at Ernst & Young. What does he do? He does the market studies, just like I did back in the day. So he's the smart guy telling everybody what to do. Now, Rick, what should people do?
Well, James, a couple of things that they should be that are noteworthy. Global Capital is looking for a home without regard to borders, and it's looking for the best risk-adjusted return in terms of where they can get that. And a lot of smart money, much smarter than I could ever be, is looking into real estate. In a low-yield environment, real estate has the returns that everybody's looking for, and real estate has the returns that everyone is looking for, and that remains to be seen, I think, going forward for at least the next few years.
Okay, Rich, you head up Ackerman's national real estate practice for real estate. What are your clients telling you? What are they focusing on right now?
For the most part, we're still seeing clients that want to buy core real estate products, the A products and the A markets. Although they're starting to see that the competition there is so red hot that it's hard to stay up with it. And they're starting to bleed into the B markets, you know, the shopping centers and the office buildings and the industrial properties?
Now, we had Eric Rapkin on with Daryl Parmenter in one of our last segments, and he's following Daryl around the country. So I feel that you must do the same thing and encourage your folks to go follow their clients.
I think that's right. The clients are looking more than one state, more than one city, and I think that's a healthy thing to do right now.
Now, Rick, if you were going to pick a product silo, not necessarily a geographic location, product silo, we've been talking with Andy Robbins, a hospitality partner at Ackerman, about the select service hotel business being a good silo in hospitality. You have a much broader horizontal view. What's your favorite product type right now?
Well, I think everybody's rushed into apartments for years, and I think you're going to see that edge off a little bit. I like hospitality, especially going into markets like Brazil. You're going to be hosting the World Cup. You've got the Olympics. Hospitality is undersupplied there. And so I think, you know, whatever property type that you're looking at, to me, it's all about getting back to the basics, taking a look at the asset, looking that it's in a high-quality location, that it's cash-flowing, it can cover its debt. That's really what it's all about.
You mean we're getting back to blocking and tackling in real estate?
It's how I learned.
Oh, I love it. Now, Rich, what are you seeing as some of the trends as your partner, as your clients look globally? Because with Rick, we're talking a little bit more about global investment. Do you advise some of your clients on a global basis as well?
I'd have to say most of ours are inbound from the global perspective rather than outbound from the global perspective. There's a lot of money coming into the United States still. We've met with some Brazilians last week that wanted commercial properties, especially hotel up in the Orlando area. We have some another set of Argentine investors that are looking for retail in Miami. So I would say that the money is still coming this way quite a bit.
So then your practice is really focused on advising the inbound capital so that they avoid mistakes whenever possible.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Rick, we've talked about some of your favorite silos. What do you see as a potential trap for the growth? Because here we are, it's April. We're now in the fourth month of the year. We've gotten a lot farther this year than we did the last few years with optimism. Is optimism going to hold this year?
I think optimism is going to hold. A lot of things are happening that are positive. If you take a look at the housing market here in the U.S., it's up. And housing certainly supports other things like the industrial, and we've seen a lot of positive activity there. I think the thing to keep in mind is that the international players are coming in, and they're looking at the U.S. as not only a safe haven, but the information is transparent, it's relative predictability, it's a market that they can get their arms around, and there's a lot of opportunities here.
Well, you mentioned transparency, and that's always something that I try to play on, is I always say, look at me, you can see through me, I'm transparent. Then people ask me, what am I going to invest in real estate? And I say, I don't know, it's opaque. So the real thing that I find is that transparency is the key, and that's what you provide. And I also know that that's what Rich provides. Rich, you guys do a lot of due diligence that helps people provide and confirm their transparency, no?
Yes, that's absolutely right, James. Whenever these deals come along, you know, at first they're talking price, but then they have to get into the details. And that price normally ends up getting adjusted as you go through a lot of the due diligence on these deals.
Oh, wait a minute now. I don't need one yet, but I know I'm getting my hair cut in 2 weeks. Now, Rick, you guys perform due diligence services as well?
We do. And helping folks go in a very short period of time, get their arms around a situation and make a more informed decision so that they can go in. Because the last thing you want to do is have to go and sit in front of an investment committee and try to justify what you in fact bought to actually perform the way you expected.
Well, you help people put their inputs together to create their pro formas. And my thought on a pro forma is it's just the benchmark. I just want to know if I'm going to be above or below it. I'm never going to hit that pro forma. Now, Rich, what are you seeing as far as a trend in deal structuring? You get a global overview. What's a new trend you're seeing?
James, what we're really seeing is because the loan-to-value ratios...
Keeps calling me James. He's known me for 20 years, you know. Go ahead, Richard.
All right, Jim. Because the loan-to-value ratios have shifted to the smaller range in the 50 to 60% range, a lot of our clients don't have that 40 to 50% to invest. So we're seeing a lot more joint ventures happening where we've got equity coming to the table to help developers and investors get those deals done.
Oh, cheap plug for me with us providing the private equity slugs. Now, Rick, you do a lot of work with private investors looking to invest in these larger transactions as a due diligence?
We do. And the thing to keep in mind is no matter where you're going, you have different cultures, different regulatory environments, you have different taxing regimes, It's partnering up with the right firm, the right experts who know and live that market. If you want to be successful, that's what you need to be thinking about.
Wow, we're going to close with that. I couldn't think of a better way to close this conference. We've had a great time at the 2013 Ackerman Center for Real Estate Conference. I want to thank Rich Beazle, the head of global real estate at Ackerman, for having us over. Rich, we look forward to participating next year. This is Jim Fried with Fried on Business, back after this. All right, you heard my interviews from last week's Ackerman CenterFit Real Estate Summit 2013. They had some high-quality guests, and if you want to get some high-quality auto, then you got to start looking to buy or lease a car from my friends at Warren Henry, because they're going to give you every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar, exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for an entire year. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Now let's talk a little bit about the conference from last week. I attended as an attendee, and it was all deal makers, all key top people, all thought leaders from around the country in the real estate business. And I can guarantee you that I'm going to make money because I attended that event. Well, let me rephrase that. I will certainly make money. And one of the main reasons I will from that event is because of the new contacts that I made and the knowledge that I learned. So I want to thank the Ackerman CenterFit people for bringing us out there. My impressions were that the market is strengthening pretty much across the country, but spotty recovery in certain small markets and certain market segments. In fact, it's different in different places. For instance, office may not be too strong, let's say in Tampa or Orlando, but it's on fire in places like San Francisco and Houston. Multifamily, pretty much hot everywhere, but according to the gentleman from Ernst & Young, it may be cooling off some. In fact, he believes that international investing in hospitality in places like Brazil may be the place to go. So equity and debt is out there. It's strong. It's looking for people that can execute, operating partners in particular, and it's beginning to move a little bit further out on the risk curve. I've even heard some of the equity people talking about doing preferred equity on condo developments. So things are really, really heating up. Big O, what do we got there? All right, to the end? All right. Well, we're getting close. I'm sorry. It's been just a great show. Office in San Francisco was hot. Go where the jobs are. That's San Francisco and Houston. Industrial's good in core markets. Let's see. One of the differences from the last time is that tenants are contracting, even when they're renewing space. Last time, they were all expanding. All office markets that the opportunity funds are investing in include Dallas and Atlanta, where they see heavy job growth in the near term. There's really still no capital for luxury resort development, and condo hotel is an idea in most locations that's dead on arrival right now. The exceptions being luxury beachfront and luxury resort ski resorts and things like that. Upscale select service on the way up in urban areas and resorts. It's coming. Favorite hospitality, a boom is coming. The bloom is coming off of the residential markets. And my favorite comment, getting back to basics, blocking and tackling, good locations, good cash flows, and stick to your underwriting. So I'd like to thank my friends at Ackerman CenterFit for inviting the show out to their event, allowing us to interview their guests, having them on the show. I'd also like to thank our friends at Warren Henry Automotive, our friends at True North Financial, the NFL Alumni Association, the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Marlins, Social Media 305, of course, our friends at Lauren's Kids, making the world a better place every single day, and the Aztec Group, U Health, the Bergstrom Center for the Real Estate Studies at the University of Florida. But most importantly, I want to thank you, our listeners, because without you, I have no show. Please go to our Facebook page and like our show and comment and tell your friends. Join our community. Give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from by tweeting us at Jim Fried or tweet the show at Fried on Business. Go to our Facebook page, our LinkedIn stuff, YouTube. We get a lot of hits on YouTube. The website gets a bunch of hits every week. And if you missed our show, it's going to be up on the website, www.fried.com.
It'll be up as soon as O gets it out to me. He's shaking his head, giving me the high five, which means it'll probably be up by Monday. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us next week on 880 AM at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a bunch of health and wellness. U Health will be back. Dr. Victor Franks will be back. Tarek Maddox will be back. Hey, look at me. I'm getting in shape, Tarek. I'm starting to look as good as, well, not as good as Frank Gore, but maybe a little bit getting there. So remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. We'll talk to you next week. Let's get social.
You see, you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off a lone ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. But open